So Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read there from verse 6 to verse 9. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What is reality? And you may say, well, that's a pretty crazy question. Because even if you think about it, at the turn of the century, just like 20 years ago or so, you know, this was something that was self-evident, what reality is. It's like according to basic human understanding. But I think it's a very important question today, because today many people believe that perception is reality. The world has changed quite a bit. And that's a scary thing. I think when you don't believe that there's something like absolute reality, objective reality out there, that you believe that something is just a cultural thing or just a social thing, that's why we are like we are, because I grew up in this society or whatever. Have you ever heard someone tell you, my reality is not your reality? You know, or that may be true for you, but that's not my truth, you see? Somehow, people started using truth as a shield, almost like a non-negotiable, you know, personal opinion. And it's a very convenient phrase to say, my truth. It's very convenient for avoiding arguments because, you know, people realize that they can contradict your opinions. But if you say it's your truth, then suddenly there's nothing they can say against your truth, because your truth is your truth, you know? And so you're not allowed to sort of argue with someone's truth. And I think that's scary. I think it's a way that we are cut off. I think it's also a very convenient way to keep you from feeling guilty about your sin. Because I'm doing what I'm doing because this is my truth. It may not be yours, but it's mine. You see, and I think it's also very convenient to keep a lid on your sin, if you think about it. And I think that's especially bad in the light of the ultimate, the true reality of God, who God is. The Bible tells us that this God who created us is coming back as the judge. You know, Psalm 96, we read this morning, beautiful psalm. It says he's coming, verse 13, he's coming, for he's coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. And I think for that reason, we all need to have a reality check from time to time. You know, just to make sure that we're still on the right track. It's like when you're swimming in the ocean. You know, I love swimming in the ocean. This Cape is too cold. I prefer Natal. But anyway, I love swimming in the ocean. And, you know, one thing that you need to do, if you swim in the ocean, you constantly need to look back at the shore to see if you're not drifting. You know, to see if some current hasn't taken you without knowing. That's happened to me in my life before. Next thing you look around and you're like in the middle of nowhere, you know, and the sea's taken you. You have to be sure of that. The Bible tells us very carefully in Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. And I think for that reason, it's so important to know what truth is, to know what the reality is, and to focus on that. And I think the book of James that we've just been through, I've been so blessed by Pierre and Walter who taught through the book of James. And it's been such a great book. And I think James helped us to wake up a bit, you know. It's nothing like a few straight punches early in the morning. And so I think James is a great book. But we have to understand that the reality is something that exists independently of anyone or anything's idea concerning it. It's just something, it's the reality, it's what's real. That's what it means. And so this is important in our world today, because today many people, especially the younger generation, you know, they all try and do anything to try and escape reality. I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of unhappy people in the world today. They will at worst commit suicide. They will do all kinds of weird things. They'll start cutting themselves. They turn to drugs. They'll turn to whatever they can, whatever alternate means of reality makes them feel better about their lives. They will do that. And you say, well, why? Because reality bites, as that movie said in the 90s, right? You can tell my age, but it's like a while ago. But reality, basically, for most people in this world, is not a fun thing, you know? The reality is that you have to understand, we live in a sin-saturated society. That's why things are the way they are. 1 John 5:19 tells us, we know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That is the reality that we have right here today. We know that we have an enemy, the devil. He hates us and he ultimately wants to destroy us. You know what? And all this confusion in the world today about what is real and what is not real, it gives him the advantage. It gives him a serious advantage to conquer our minds because he wants to completely ruin us. He knows that you are what you think. That's why we find there's a constant spiritual battle for our minds. The whole time the battle is raging in the mind. The enemy is attacking our thoughts because he wants to destroy us. You know, someone said it so well. He said, a thought reaps an action. An action reaps a habit. A habit reaps a character. And a character reaps a destiny. It all starts with a thought. We don't realize the importance of our thinking life, and one thought can end up being your destiny if you hang on to that thought. And that's the covert attack strategy of the enemy, you know? And the majority of people in this world don't even realize that this is happening. A.W. Tozer said this. He's one of my favorite Bible teachers, and he says, there's a war going on to enslave the human mind. The enemy of man's soul will stop at nothing to capture and control the thinking of men and women in our generation. If he can control their thinking, he can control their destiny, which is his objective. And guess what? A.W. Tozer wrote this to a far previous generation. This is not even today. We all know that Adolf Hitler's propaganda philosophy was that if you said something long enough and loud enough, that people will start to believe it. They believe it's true. Now, that's both crazy, but it's also true. That's the reality. That's how it works. But you see, the problem today in our world now is long and loud enough has now become instant and intense enough. It's a whole different battle. It's stacked completely. You see, the enemy has found more effective ways now to control our minds and our lives. Something that takes a fraction of the time. You know, something that's far more advantageous for him because you can reach so much more. And it's not just something, I think, that we can ignore or neglect this kind of thing because lives literally lie in the balance. I talk about eternal lives. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. You do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So today, if you're taking note, reality check. Because if we as Christians, if you today desire more of God's presence, you desire it to be a reality in your life, then we got to wake up. We got to wake up to what's happening around us in the world. And the first thing, if you're taking note, that you can write down is the current reality. So current reality, also called CR, is what's happening in your actual life. And that's opposed to the desired reality or the DR. You know, that's what you want your life to be like. That's the fantasy part of your life. And so oftentimes our current reality is a stressful thing, you know, because of difficult situations that we are in, at home, at work, in relationships, because of pressure, because of sin, you know, whatever it may be. But listen to what God says through the Apostle Paul here in verse 6. He says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. And of course, this is written to Christians. Because if in the world, you should be worried. You should be seriously worried. There's nothing to comfort you in this world. But if you're a Christian, God says, I don't want you to worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. And it's given as a command because we know that worry is really a sin. So let me ask you again, what is your reaction to your problems and your trials, to your life, to your current reality, if you would? What's your reaction? Are you this morning, as you're sitting here, are you at peace? You just feel like, my life is peaceful. I'm really just exactly where I want to be with the Lord. Or do you have a life of anxiety or fear, a life of loneliness, whatever it may be? You know, the truth is that God does not want us to be anxious. That's one of those truths that we must understand from the beginning. His desire for us is life and peace, even as it says in Romans 8, verse 6. And then he says, don't be anxious in everything. That means in every situation that you face yourself in. You say like, how's that possible? You should see my week. You know, how's it possible? And the answer is right there in verse 6. He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You ever heard that old song of Joseph Scriven, take it to the Lord in prayer? I love that song so much. That's exactly what people don't know how to do anymore in the society we live in. They don't know how to take everything to God in prayer. You know, all your anxieties, all your struggles, all your fears. God is there. He wants us to come and speak to Him and just bring these things before Him. You know what? That is a privilege we have as a child of God. Think for a moment what an amazing privilege it is. We have a Father. Not only does He love us with a perfect love, and I know a lot of people have been messed up with their father relationships in this world, and for that reason, they struggle to relate to God. But let me tell you, we have a perfect Father in heaven who's got a perfect love for you. He cannot love you more than He loves you. He cannot love you better. And guess what's better? He's almighty. You know what that means? It means if I go to my Abba Father and I say, Lord, I need this. It's like, He's got the power to help me with anything and everything I struggle with. When we run to things, like we're going to look at this morning, we run to even other people, you're always going to fall short. You're going to keep running and keep running and keep looking for answers. You know, like, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? At the bottom line, it's God. God's the only one who can help you. You know, that's the privilege of the child of God. I think about Adam and Eve. Think about Abram, Isaac, Jacob. You know, think about all the way through David, you know, all the way to Paul, you know. They didn't consult the internet when they had an issue. Then like turn on, let's see what Google says, you know, what I should do. Then run to some people. Paul didn't turn on his iPhone, his device, if he couldn't cope, you know. They didn't have that. But guess what? These guys, they walked with the Lord. Remember right in the beginning of the Bible, it says Adam and Eve, they walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. They were actually walking with God, telling Him everything about the day. Father, you know, this is what happened today, you know, and this is what I want to praise You for. I'm so thankful for all the things You do. And that's where you relate to your Father. Out in creation. The key to having a stable and peaceful mind, a mind that's free from worry, is thankful prayer. And if you know God, your heart will be thankful. He says there, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. And I think this is a super important part of prayer because it guards us against that whining and complaining spirit. You know, most of us, after a day at work, you know, we come back home, we're like, oh. You know, and it's easy to complain. It's not hard because things are tough. But this keeps us from that. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, this is God's heart for you. God wants His kids to be joyful and rejoicing and happy. That's what He wants. God's will for us is peace and rejoicing, and we need to turn to Him for that. Now you say, you know, it may sound difficult. You say, well, I don't really know how to do that. You don't know my schedule. But you know what? This is how you win the battle for the mind, is when you are in constant fellowship with God, praying without ceasing. You know, that is why prayer is a priority, I think, in every mature believer's life. If you meet someone, you say, well, this guy or this woman is really walking with the Lord. Let me tell you, they've got a good prayer life. That's the main bottom line, because only God can deal with all these things that all of us struggle with. And when we pray, guess what happens? The moment that you pray, your mind is focused on the God who is, the one who made you, the one who loves you, the one who rules over every atom in this universe. So the moment we pray, our mind is completely focused on Him. We are walking in the Spirit, and this is a place of spiritual stability. I've told you this many times. If we look at the problems and the things in the world, it's like we put them right there before God. And that's all we can see. And that's why we moan and complain and grumble. But if we put our focus on God, all these things are taken out of the way. Think for a moment. Where does peace come from? It comes from God, right? Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, chapter 6. Even as we now, in this time of Advent, excited about, you know, there's the celebration, the remembrance of Jesus Christ coming for the world. He is the Prince of Peace. And the reason why people are fearful and anxious is either because they don't know God on the one hand, or maybe they know something about God, but they don't trust God. And if you don't know God and trust God, you are going to be fearful. Your life is going to be messed up. People tell you, well, what are you going to do about it, Christian? Well, I've prayed about it. What do you mean? No, because I've prayed about it. Now it's in God's hands. Now I can relax. You know, a lot of people, they're like, I pray about it, and then I just grab everything again and I run with it, like, and I go stress about it. But when you pray about it, you hand it over to your Father, who has got all the power to help you with these things. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God has given us, because that's how He wants us to walk as His children. And when you know and trust God, guess what? Then your mind is under control of the Holy Spirit. That's the beautiful place where you want to be. And then God's peace floods your life. And it says here in the next verse, verse 7, a peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A peace that surpasses understanding. That's amazing that only the children of God can have something like that. And that's God's desire for us. You must understand God wants you to have peace. And it says, look at what it says there. It says, the peace of God. It doesn't say you'll have peace with God or from God. It says you'll have the peace of God. Have you ever considered God? God is never stressed. God never goes like, what am I going to do about that situation, that guy's life? He completely stuffed up everything. Like, he never does that. You know, God is never worried. God is never fearful. God is always at perfect peace. And it says, you will have the peace of God that surpasses understanding. So in God, you will have peace because on your own, you know, you'll try and figure it out through your understanding. Because there is a certain peace that can come from, you know, knowing that you can handle it, knowing that I'm strong enough, knowing that I have the finances, I have the resources to get myself out of this thing. But the peace that we're talking about here is a far greater peace. This is a peace that surpasses understanding. This bypasses your understanding. People look at you in your situation in your life and they say, how can you be so calm? And you're like, I don't know. It's like, doesn't make sense. It's beyond my understanding how I can be so calm in a situation that I find myself in because God is right there with you. You know, I love this T-shirt slogan that I've seen many times. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It just says, no God, no peace, with an N-O. And then there's two letters added in color on the sides, and it says, no God, no peace, K-N-O-W, no God, no peace. So if you know God, you know peace. If there's no God, there's no peace. That's as easy as that. And God's peace will guard your hearts and your minds. And it says here, how? Through Christ Jesus. And we have to realize this is part of the key to understand everything we're going to talk about this morning, because Jesus is the source of peace. So if you are looking for some peace in your life and you are running to anything besides God, let me tell you, you are wasting your time, because he is the source. He is the important one. So because the enemy wants to steal your peace and destroy your life, he wants to get your mind on anything else besides Jesus. And we all know how it works. The moment you wake up, you know, something happens. Dog bites the kid. This one screams. That happens. And you just get into the life and you get to work and it's just like a roller coaster. And that's how it goes. Because he wants to get your mind on anything besides Jesus. Anything that works. And of course, the worse it is, the better for him, right? Because he wants to destroy you. The enemy wants you to play in the natural, in the emotional realm of feeling. If he can keep you in the place of, I'm feeling this, then guess what? He's got you. The battle is for the mind, and the way to win is all about your focus in your current reality. So again, where's your focus this morning? What is your current reality? Are you there in the peace of God this morning? The second part we want to look at, if you're taking note, is true reality. Look there at verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So finally, brethren, you know, this is like sort of when you come to the close, when you say, so this is it. Furthermore, he's saying like, now, here's the deal. This is how it works. Here's the principle to attain a stable and a peaceful mind in this world. This is the how and the where of the battle. Because our minds, we know, is where the battle plays out in our thinking. Our thinking is so important. I don't think we give enough thought to our thinking, what we put in our minds. Because as Christians, we have the ability to determine what we set our minds on. Guess what? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got no choice. Your mind goes whatever your body tells your mind to go. If your body wants this, your mind goes where your body wants to go. The Christian has the ability to say, no, I'm ruled by God's Spirit because God has given this to me. I'm not going to be ruled by my body. And so we have to understand, we have to determine what we set our minds on, to live in a biblical reality, because the biblical reality is the true reality. And the first thing that he says there, whatever things are true. So it's not just about right praying, it's also about right thinking. And he mentions eight things here, but the first thing is truth. You know, and I think Truth is a great way to start because that's almost the most important thing. I'm not saying this is the most important thing, but according to this list, what you need. But truth is where everything starts. Even think about the spiritual armor. The first piece of the spiritual armor that you put on starts with truth, the belt of truth. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Guess what? You can be the best soldier with all the guns and the ammo that you need, but if your pants are falling down because your belt's not tied, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. You have to start with the truth. It always, everything starts with truth. I find that in my life, spiritual warfare, whenever it comes, you know, mostly I can just kill it right there with just the truth, you know, because the truth immediately dispels all the lies. So truth is super important. Truth thinking is a biggie. Thinking whatever is true means to really read, to analyze, and to meditate on God's word. Because this is the word. This is the truth. Jesus, when he was praying to his Father in John 17:17, he said to the Father, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." You see, this is the truth we have right in front of us. And guys, what a privilege. You know, there's a world full of lost people who are seriously unhappy, and they just don't know it. All the truth that you need is right here in this book, and it's available, it's accessible. Knowing the truth is the only way that we can stand against the lies and the deceptions of this life. And so just think about our world today, our current reality, if you will. Everything that stands against the true reality, that is Jesus Christ. So today we live in a world, well, the first thing, obvious thing, is we live in a world of COVID viruses and vaccines, right? That's the first thing. If you think about it, what's our world like today? And guess what? This brings great division. This is a great topic for division, sadly, even among Christians. Because on the one hand, you know, there's the world. The world, you can understand, they are anxious. They are completely stressed out. There's this whole thing. We don't know how to deal with it. This is not going away. You know, all these things. Let's get vaccines. Let's do this. Let's do all these things. And we know it's a money-making thing and it's a political agenda. But all of that aside, the part that bothers me is we are the church, and there's great division in the church over these things. You have people on the one end who jumps on this whole wagon like, hey, it's the mark of the beast. Don't take the vaccine because you're going to go to hell. You know, that's not true. You get people on the other hand who say, it's nothing. It's nothing. You know, that's not true either. There is a virus. It's reality. It's out there. But you know what? The big thing is both of these are wrong, and it's not about this. We should listen up. Listen for a moment. You know, get your head out of the sand. If you are someone who wants to talk to someone about, I don't really want to be at church and talk about vaccines or talk about the virus, because guess what? That's trivial, temporal things that doesn't really matter in the bigger scheme of things, you know? And so think on the things, what does the Bible tell us right here? That are true. The things that are true. That means focus on Jesus. You know, we always tell each other, keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing is Jesus. We don't want to be the fellowship who's against vaccines or for vaccines or, you know, that doesn't really matter. That's just a little small thing. We want to be about Jesus. He is the important thing. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Don't spend your energy on all these temporary things. Because guess what? All these things are sensation driven. That's why it goes so far and so fast. It distracts your focus. The moment that you give your attention to all these things of the world, guess what? You are going to feel anxiety. You're going to become fearful. You're going to feel worried and alone because guess what? Your eyes are off Jesus. Now it's on some kind of thing. And the Bible, I want to tell you very clear, doesn't say anything about COVID and vaccines except the fact that it's part of the, you know, the beginning of sorrows together with the wars and the rumors of wars and all those other things. It's the only thing that the Bible really says about it. And that's, by the way, the period before Jesus Christ comes back for his church. That's before the Great Tribulation. That's before the Antichrist reveals himself and eventually gives the mark to the people. You know, so you don't have to worry about all these things that everyone is worried about. Jesus tells us two things when he speaks about that particular time, the beginning of sorrows. First of all, in Matthew 24:4, Jesus says, take heed that no one deceives you. And secondly, he says in verse 6, Matthew 24:6, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So basically, he says, don't be worried about these things. Don't put your mind on these things. It's not important enough, you know? And then the second thing in this world, this current reality we're living in, is we're living in a world of fake news, which makes everything even much worse, you know, because you don't know what you can believe anymore. It further divides everyone's opinions from one another. How many big news stories have been fake? You know, you can't believe anything these days that you see with your eyes. I mean, I've got some really great computer programs that I work with. And I tell you, you cannot believe your eyes. Not, you can't even believe a video what you can see. You can't believe what you see anymore these days. The ability of these programs and things are so well done. And then accept the news out there. You know, it's like we have to think true thoughts. We have to forget about all these false things. And then very importantly this morning, the thing that I really have on my heart is our current reality. We're living in a world of virtual reality today. And I think this is a very dangerous, very rapidly escalating attack on the minds of people, of Christians. Because if you can look beyond the amazing, you know, technology and advancement that virtual reality is today, it's quite amazing. Virtual reality is bad on so many levels. And I want to speak about that a bit this morning. And the first thing that we want to look at is gaming. Now, I know I'm going to step probably on some toes, maybe a lot of toes. And I just want to say, you know, I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here to share what God's laid on my heart. I'm also not here to willingly offend anyone. So I don't want to mention specific games because then I know I'll lose your attention. But gaming, you know, the first problem with that is not real. It's not real. It's virtual. You say, well, yeah, so what? It's not a big deal. You know, because being virtual in itself is not a problem. That's not a problem. It's not bad. It's bad because of where it leads. It's bad because of the power that is attached to that. It's bad because there's an enemy who wants to use these things. You know, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You can think, man, this is fine, but you'll end up dead. So virtual reality, or as it's called, artificial reality, think about for a moment, has the promise of a better or a fun reality that may not suck like your current reality. Because most people, I don't like my life, so I would rather spend time in some virtual space where I can do what I want and be who I want to be. But guess what? It's fake. It's fake. It's a simulated reality that exists in a make-believe world. And guess what? It ignores the truth. And that's the big problem that God's word has with it. Because what does God's word say right here? It says, think upon whatever things are true. You know, and there's good reason why God's word says this. Because true thoughts are the things that destroy worry and anxiety in your life. Those are the things that set you free, as it says in John 8:32. We spoke about the belt of truth, Ephesians chapter 6. These are the things that free you up if you have truth. And so remember for a moment, truth is what keeps you from drifting, just like we mentioned of the ocean. Truth is the thing that keeps you locked on the road that you've chosen to walk with the Lord. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 and 4 says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Fantasy. I want to suggest to you, yes, he speaks mainly about false teachers who rises on the scene. But let me tell you, there are so many things instructing our world today, instructing our young people today, and gaming is one of them. And it's about fantasy. You know, I've had this discussions with my kids, like living in a fantasy world, striving for this fantasy thing is not good because it keeps you out of what reality is. It's a dangerous thing, and that's the same with movies, of course. You know, we've talked about movies many times. I'm not going to get into movies this morning because virtual reality is just the extreme part of that because you're completely immersed in this thing. And it's so sad, really, because today we have grown-ups. Well, I can't really say grown-ups. I can't really say adults either, but we have big men and women who spend countless of hours gaming. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, like, what's happened to the men of this world? What's happened? What's happened to our society? You know? Countless hours. Why? Because mainly it's more fun. Mainly. Can't really hurt because it's virtual, right? No, it's wrong. That's the thing. You know, let me tell you something. I was in high school in the early 80s. And that's when videotapes came out. You remember VHS and Betamax? You know, it wasn't so famous in South Africa. And suddenly there was this whole influx. Suddenly you can have all the movies and you can watch it in your own home. You know, before that you have to go to the drive-in. You know, I think my mom took me to the drive-in when I was still in the cot. You know, I was like, I've been watching movies my whole life, which I'm not happy about. But, you know, it's like Now suddenly you have the movies in your own home, inside your home, and guess what? With the, all this influx of movies, no one had any discernment that this will be bad for you. Because it's just entertainment, right? It's just something that's, and now suddenly it's in your own space. And I can tell you, I can testify from my own experience that there are many things in my life that I wish I never saw. I wish I never watched those things. There was no discernment in those days. I don't know what happened, but like, I'm talking about all the parents. It's like the stuff that we watched, we shouldn't have been able to watch those things. There was no discernment in that day. The second problem there is with gaming is the content. And this is what it brings us to. The content. All the popular games, like I said, I won't mention any names. You know, we talk about violence, murder, cheating, stealing. You know, if it doesn't have all of that, it's got some part of that in it. What does our text tell us here? Whatever God's word says is whatever things are true, we should think on that. That's what the Christian should fill his mind with. I want to read this to you again. Just think in the content what we're speaking about now. Look there again at verse 8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So noble thoughts are honorable, respectable thoughts, and those things destroy the crude and the vulgar things in your life. Just thoughts, that means blameless, that means honest thoughts. You know, those will destroy the prejudice and the dishonesty in your life. Pure thoughts, this is what God desires from us, means clean, holy thoughts. Pure thoughts will destroy the flesh, the dirty, the corrupt things in the world, sexual immorality and all kinds of immorality. Lovely thoughts, those are beautiful, sweet thoughts. They will destroy hate, they will destroy demonic thinking that this world is permeated with. And it says, of good report. Those are thoughts of good report will destroy a victim mentality in you. And in virtue, the Greek word is the word for moral goodness, honest with integrity. So virtuous thoughts, they'll destroy evil, immorality, and all those kind of things. And he says, if there's anything praiseworthy thoughts, admirable, commendable thoughts, you know, this is what God's word is saying to us. Remember, Paul is writing Philippians as the epistle of joy. He's writing from prison, but he's writing to us how you, despite any circumstances, can be filled with God's peace and joy. How you can be a joyful person no matter where you think yourself. And it's, how do you do that? Because you think on these things. You keep your mind in the things that are good and true and right. Why do you think our world is filled with so much violence, so much corruption, so much immorality? Guess what? Mainly because they see it on TV. And now it's gotten worse. Now they game and they put on these things on their heads and it completely envelops them. Because we've been steadily, I think now exponentially increasing the diet of the world and its sinful things. And it was bad in my day and I regret much of that. But today it's far worse and that's what I want you to realize. I don't want you to feel bad. I mean, this is something that speaks to all of us on some kind of level. This is not about feeling bad. This is about waking up, having a reality check. Because you know what you have to understand is once it's there. Once it entered your mind, it's there forever. Then the enemy can always use it against you. Sometimes I'm shocked. I'm amazed. I mean, it's years and years and years, and suddenly this thought will just pop in my mind. And I'm like, where does that come from? Because once you put it in there, then the enemy can use it against you. And that's the problem with our thoughts and our minds. I mean, even as a student, I remember this so well. You know, I thought I could just watch all the things I want to watch and I could just eat the meat, swallow and spit out the bones, you know, all the bad stuff. I can discern because I'm a Christian and I know what I'm doing and I don't have to take everything. Let me tell you, I was just deceiving myself. If you think like that, if you think you can take part of these things and not be touched by them, you are deceiving yourself. I want to tell you this morning, what I was doing was basically opening up a door for regular filth to come into my mind. Stuff that I still struggle with today to just get rid of. You know, stuff that I have to give to the Lord constantly because of what I put in myself when I was younger. It's just not worth it. So knowing the effect that the movies had on me, you know, and myself personally, I cringe when I consider a world of virtual reality where you are completely engulfed. Your senses are taken over completely. You know, first it was just the audio. You know, people start putting headphones in their ears. All these things, you know, it's the same as mass. Mass, plugs, everything is just, it's shutting you off. from God and from everyone else. Think about this picture here on the screen, you know, this girl with a virtual reality headset on. To me, it is such a sad example of willful ignorance. That's what it is. You're putting not just a blindfold on, you put a blindfold on with a screen, so you don't have to look at the world out there that is, that God made, but you can look at the things that you want to see, a different reality, a different world. To me, it's a terrible picture. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, lest the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Let me tell you, virtual reality cuts people off from God's presence and God's glory in creation. How are you going to have a relationship with God when you don't experience Him? Some people sit in their rooms the whole time. They're in front of screens the whole day. They never get out and walk with the Lord and see creation and praise God for a sunset. Everything they see is artificial. It cuts you off from the gospel. You know, so many people are completely sucked up in this world. I know we have some people in this church who's had testimonies, you know, about how God saved them out of this. Because you get completely stuck in this and you're completely cut off. How can you get saved if you're not saved and you are into, you're addicted to virtual reality, then how on earth will God reach you with the gospel? It's like you're cut off. Matthew 13:15 says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. The ears are hard of hearing and the eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. And listen, this comes from a loving God. God says, guys, I made you for joy and for purpose. I want to have a relationship with you, but you close your eyes to me. You turn away from me. You don't want to see the truth. You would rather see other things. Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. And that's the worst. When you get to that place where God says, okay, you know, I can't do anything for you. God will not force you to love Him. He will not force you to open your eyes. If you commit, this is what I want to do, God will just leave you in that. And that's a terrible thing. And I think besides all the sociological issues, we're not even going to get into that. In a virtual world, I want you to understand that you can filter out anything according to what you want people to see or not. I think about Facebook, what's happening now, Meta, you know? All the things, the world is going this way. And guess what happens is, it means that I can show my good side to the people. It's always going well with me. It's not really, but you know, virtually, I'm doing great. Everything is fine. And there's a lot of broken, hurtful people, but it's all superficial relationships. And that's where the things are heading. You know what? Secondly, in a virtual world, you're not confronted with the real issues of life. You don't see your neighbors struggling and going through a hard time. You don't reach out to people physically, touch them, pray for them, have a relationship with them. You can just choose what you see and what you enter, you know? You don't see the hungry, the needy, the people of this world, the people that Jesus came to save. You don't even see that. In a virtual world, guess what? You can do whatever you fancy. You can sin your heart out and no one's watching except God. Who is the only one that matters, right? He's the only one that matters. I don't even want to mention this, but today, one of the biggest new businesses in the States that's growing rapidly is virtual porn. And I'm not even going to talk about that, but the fact is, once you have that gear, what keeps you? You know, what keeps you from being completely lost and destroyed in these things? Because virtually, they think it's virtual, so it's harmless to me. But guess what? The Bible tells us sin resides in the heart and in the mind. Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Let me tell you, a virtual world destroys truth. That's the problem. It destroys true relationship. It destroys commitment, because why would you have a commitment to anyone? Because you can pick and choose all these things the whole time. It destroys true joy. And guess what? The worst of it is it makes you crave more and more and more of it. And this brings us to the third problem with gaming, for instance, addiction. And that goes for all screens. It's not just, it goes for any screen, your phone, your TV, any screen. I mean, virtual reality is just at the extreme end of this stage of the spectrum. But we're talking about a dopamine addiction. You know, dopamine is a chemical release in your brain that some people say it's like the pleasure or like the win feel, you know, and people love that. And they get addicted to that. It's the exact same addiction as drugs, as alcohol, as nicotine, as gambling. It's the same addiction that screens can have on people. And people don't realize it. Like I say, we are now with screens where we were in my day with videos. There was no discernment. People don't understand the effects of these things. And we know all these other things, we look at them, and an overdose will destroy your life. And today we see a steady increase in suicide. We look around. I mean, look at our school next door. You know, look at the past, what's happened now. We see depression. We see anxiety. We see fear. You know, people feeling more and more lonely. They've got this hundreds and thousands of friends on Facebook, but they're completely lonely. You know, and instead of turning to the loving Almighty God who made them, who formed them in their mother's womb, who loves them more than anyone can love them, they turn to a device. They rather switch on a device. They turn to technology to fill that void. And I think the only problem, only big problem is technology that's creating that problem in the first place. So you're in this downward spiral and you don't realize it. And you feel worse and you feel worse. It's the same as when you're alcoholic or anything else. You know? You're like, I feel bad. I need a drink. You drink and then you're like, well, now I feel worse. I need another drink. And you just go, it's like any kind of these things. It's the same with drugs. It's the same with all of these things. Today, we have disorders, you know, that we couldn't have imagined 20 years ago. It's crazy the world we're living in, you know. One of them is FOMO, the fear of missing out. It's an addiction. That's why people are on their phones the whole time. They're like, they can't shut the thing down because they have to stay in the loop. They have to know what's happening in their friend circle the whole time. They cannot, and it's actually a mental condition, you know. It literally rewires your brain. The other one is nomophobia, the fear of missing your phone. I mean, really? You know, phone separation anxiety. And this is a real thing in the world we're living in. You couldn't have imagined this a few years ago, you know. I hate my phone. I wish I can just, when I'm on holiday, I don't answer. I throw it away, you know. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, listen to this, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12. He says, all things are lawful for me as a Christian, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That means I will not be mastered by it. I will not be addicted to it. This is what Paul says. I can do all things because I'm in Christ. There's no limitations for me. You can't do that. You can't do that. So this is not what this is about. It's about, am I doing things that are beneficial for my relationship with God and so that I can live in that joy? Because real addiction, this is a real addiction. And it doesn't seem like it because literally, medically, chemically, it changes the chemistry in your brain. You know, the neural circuitry are being altered when you constantly on these screens. And there's so many levels of this today. You know, there's virtual reality, obviously, on the one side, but then there's the augmented reality, which is either mixed reality or extended reality, depending on how much real is involved in this thing that you are busy with. Even I think about, as I was studying, I was even thinking about the idea of a multiverse. You know, this nonsense that the Marvel movies is also promoting, you know. It's like this new idea today that there's a hypothetical set of multiple universes and it even includes history. You know, it's all part of that. Let me tell you, that's not true. That's why we need to think true thoughts. You know what the problem is today? Sociologically, it's become a consensus reality today. That means what the majority believe to be true is really perceived as reality. This is a scary place to be, you know? If all of us, if I give you some weird Kool-Aid and we all get on the roof and I say to you, you know, there's no such thing as gravity, let's all walk down. No matter if we all believe it, you know, we're all going to meet the reality. We're all going to fall down on our faces, right? And the only person, even if it's totally alone, says, I'm not doing that because, you know, that's not real. And everyone will laugh at him, but he's the only one who's not going to fall. And that's the world we live in today. All of these things are very effective tools for the enemy to cut people off from God. And the thing is, we have to realize no matter how amazing virtual reality becomes, you eventually still have to return to your current reality. You have to eat. There's some things that you have to do, right? And then another thing that I just want to mention quickly, you may or may not have heard about it, but it's shifting. Shifting is another growing trend of escapism, is what I call it, because it's a way to escape your present reality. It's really short for reality shifting. And this means you are traveling now from your current reality to your desired reality, to your fantasy, through meditation, visualization, or other practices. It's basically astral projection. It's basically transcendental meditation. You know, it's out-of-body experiences what we're talking about. These are occultic stuff. But this is inflamed now in the world we are living in. This is a new rise. It's so popular among teens and young adults because of all the witchcraft that they watch in movies like the Harry Potter stuff and all these things they see on TV. So people are very much into witchcraft. You know, I think Game of Thrones, all of that kind of stuff. On TikTok, you know, videos with the hashtag shifting has over 8.5 billion views. 8.5 billion views. That's where the youth mind is. They want to shift their reality from where they are. They just want to do whatever they can to move to some other reality. And all of this because of people's frustration with their current life, with their unhappiness with their current reality, and they cannot cope with the sin in their life. They cannot cope with the choices they've made, that they've put themselves in this place. You know what? Mostly we are where we put ourselves. It's our choice. We've made bad choices. And guess what? People can't deal with that because they don't run to God. They don't get right with God and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I need you. Come and change my life. That's what you should do. But guess what? If you're in nature, if you're out on a hike or something for a few days, you're out there in nature by yourself and you get a bad cut, you know, you have to deal with that wound as soon as possible. I mean, that's survival 101. You know, it's what I teach my kids. You have to clean out that wound. You have to sanitize. You can't just ignore it. If you ignore a wound in nature, you know, then it's going to get germs. It's going to get infected. It's going to fester, you know, eventually gangrene, amputation. And it's just a cut. That's what happens. The same with virtual reality. Virtual reality is almost like having a serious cut in your life, but you put a beautiful sticker on it. And you're just like, that looks good. It should sort out everything. But it doesn't do anything because it's not a real thing. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You see, they get into these things because they do not know God. Either they don't want to know God or they just don't care enough. They don't know God. But virtually, you can never deal with the problem of sin. And I think this is the big issue. This is the big reality. Romans 3:23 tells us we all fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We've all sinned. This is the big reality. And all of these forms of escapism offers a false hope in a false existence based on a false experience. That's a sad thing. It can make you feel good. It can make you feel better even for a longer moment, but it cannot change true reality. You see, the reality that you're going to have to face is a righteous judge one day. Every person will stand before. If you're a Christian, you're going to stand before the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. Where you're going to look into the flaming eyes of Jesus, you know, and everything's going to burn away that you've done in this body that's not for the kingdom and not from a true heart. We just read that the other day with my kids in the Bible. If you're an unbeliever, you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment one day where every sin will be brought up and there will be a judgment for everything if you are still in your sin. Right at the end of the Bible, if you turn right to the end, Revelation chapter 1, 21, verse 6 to 8, it says, it is done. Jesus speaking. He says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You see, that's those who believe. God says, I want to give you everything. You are mine. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is such a warning. It's like right how the Bible almost ends, you know. And so worry, anxiety, fear, loneliness, all of these things are not part of God's plan for you. That's where we get ourselves, because of our own choices, because of our own sin. But neither is virtual reality. God created us with physical bodies. In a physical, real world. He didn't design us to lose ourselves in some kind of artificial, non-physical existence. You see, the right question is not, how does it make me feel? That's the question the enemy wants you to ask the whole time. Because I feel bad, so I want something to make me feel better. The question we should ask ourselves, is it true? Is it noble? Is it just? Is it all these things that we just talked about? The Bereans we read about in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. It says, they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They were checking out everything against the word of God. Is that true? Is that true? Is that true? You know? And if your mind is stuck on the true, if your focus is on Jesus, then the enemy cannot touch you. The world cannot touch you. You see, Christianity is totally different from any religion out there. It's not a religion, it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to understand the Bible doesn't just contain some kind of doctrine that we have to buy into. The scriptures is the very words of God that came to us from God himself. He gave it through the prophets. He gave it through his son. He gave us his word so we may know him. It's the truth straight from God. Just like Jesus, John 14:6, is the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible tells us. You know, no one comes to the Father except through him. There's no other way, no other truth, no other life outside of Jesus. He is the life and the truth-giving source. He's the truth. So thinking biblically, thinking accurately, thinking truly, let me tell you, it's a critical thing. Because salvation, true salvation, is about the transformation of the mind. And it's only God who can transform your mind. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's only God who can do that. You can go to as many psychologists and people as you want to on this earth. They will not be able to renew your mind. Only God can do that. Romans 8 verse 5 to 6 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, your thinking determines your reality, the true reality. And then he says there, the last part of verse 8, he says, meditate on these things. These are the things that a Christian is supposed to meditate on. The Greek word there is the word logizomai. It means to chew the cud. If you don't know what that is, go ask a sheep. You know, any animal that sort of eats a bit, chows it, swallows it, brings it back up and chews it a bit more, you know, that's the idea of chewing the cud. That's how we should meditate on God's word. It means to reason, to think God, to think it over and over. You read something in the morning and the whole day you think like, what is God trying to tell me? You know, what is the truth behind this? And it's a command. Meditate on these things. And how do we do that? Because the key to the victorious mind is don't just resist the evil things, meditate on the true things. That's how your mind is renewed. It's like what you eat, you know. Since the worship night, you know, I've been eating so much cake, and I tell you, I can feel it. It's terrible. If you keep eating bad stuff, you know, your whole body is going to go along with that very quickly. The same mentally, the stuff that you put into yourself. If you put the world into your mind the whole time, you can't expect to live like a victorious Christian. If you put God's truth into your mind the whole time, then there's joy. You see, dwell on these things. Proper thinking is not an optional thing in the Christian life. So we shouldn't just entertain the proper right thoughts. We should meditate on them. We should make it our thoughts. It means a habitual disciplining of our mind because our life is a product of our thinking. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, we have to get our minds renewed. This is something that I've been praying for myself and for this whole church. The whole time I've been away, I've just been praying, God renew us. God revive us. But we need to understand the truth behind this. 1 Peter 5:8, that's very sobering scripture. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is who we're fighting against. And he's just using technology, which is not bad in itself, but he's using it for his own gain. And then lastly, the last verse there, if you're taking note, number 3, the reality check. He says there in verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul's life was an example of what he was preaching about. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. You remember in the book of Acts? And then he says, these do. So don't just proclaim the truth, but it's a demonstration of the truth, right? We've just been through James. James says, be doers of the word. That's how you show that the word is really in you. It's evidence. It's not, I don't do the work so that I can be right with God. I'm right with God in Jesus Christ. But because I'm right, I do the right things. And it flows out of my life. You have to rule your thoughts or they will rule you. And so do this, and the God of peace will be with you, is what he says. That's the result. So to the Christian, Paul gives a reality check in Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3, and he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If you're a Christian, you're dead. You've got a new master. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Because our mind, like I said, is the battlefield. We have to discipline our minds to think real thoughts, to think true thoughts. So don't allow your body to dictate to you what you're going to do. Don't allow your body to tell you what you're going to think. Because that's what the world does. They can't help it. We can help it. We need to seek to be led by God's Holy Spirit, Romans 8:14. And here's the truth. You don't need to be stuck in some kind of alternate reality trying to find peace and joy. You don't need to be lonely and discouraged and depressed or downcast. You don't need to stay stuck in the sin that's wearing you out. You don't need to be there as a Christian because Christ has done everything already for you. We have to understand what he's done. God's word tells us in John 8:36, I love this. It says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus says in John 8:31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth that frees us up. So may God, through his word this morning, give us all a reality check, that we may not just hear these things, but we may receive them and do them. Because guess what? Jesus is coming back soon and very soon. And only thing I want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to be busy with some kind of thing when Jesus arrives. I want to be ready for him, thinking on him.